Good evening. Hallelujah. Jesus, we come before you tonight and tell you we love you, we honor you, we praise you. Jesus, we magnify your holy name. We glorify you, our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Father, we want your presence to be heavy in this place tonight. Father, we want you to know that we love you and we honor you, but we also want to know your love. We want to know your glory. And so tonight, Father, again, we choose to yield unto all that you desire so that you can accomplish your perfect will. Move freely in our midst, Holy Spirit, with the anointing of God to bring about the perfect will of the Father. We love you, we honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tonight is TH-106, week number 4, and this is class number 1. And just a couple of things to share with you before we get right into the teaching. And that is, first off, I do want to apologize for the length of our third class session last week. I didn't realize it had gone so long until I went back and looked at the recording and how long it was. So I apologize for going that long. And then also want to bring you into remembrance that the school year is beyond half over. So you should be making a tremendous amount of progress in your ministry practicum. And keep in mind that if your practicum is not completed, then you will not graduate. You will not receive your certificate or diploma, whichever you're working toward. And for those of you who happen to be in prison listening to this, I do know at times we have received correspondence from inmates that once they begin taking these courses, they begin to see how that maybe the chaplain is not teaching what should be taught, and that some of the things the chaplain teaches don't, you know, it's just not right. And you've expressed a lot of frustration. You know, I'm tired of listening to this wrong doctrine now that I know the truth, and so on and so forth. Well, that may be the case. However, you still need to get your practicum completed because that is a course. It's just a hands-on course. And if you don't get your practicum completed, then you will not graduate. So you may not agree with some things that your chaplain teaches. However, you can volunteer to help. And I would say pray for your chaplain. Pray that his or her eyes would be opened to see what is and is not true relative to the Word of God. So I just wanted to pass that along to you as a reminder. Now, last week, we completed taking a look at the first part of this course describing the ministry callings. And we finished up talking about whether or not women can be in ministry. And we took a look in Scripture about that and read some things. I read something to you that I had written concerning women in ministry. But along with that, I do want to encourage you not to allow the traditions of man to keep you tunnel visioned regarding ministry callings. It's very important to remember that there are a lot of people out there who teach wrong things concerning ministry callings. And it isn't that they're trying to lead you astray on purpose. However, you know, there's a lot of tradition that is taught relative to ministry callings and so forth. And so again, the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill your ministry is to stay true to God's Word and only pursue that which is a true, genuine ministry calling. And don't let man sway you one way or the other. Stay true to what God has established in His Word. Tonight, what we're going to do is take a look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry gifts are not the same thing. Many times people have confused them, and which is sad because Scripture clearly identifies that there are gifts and callings that come from Jesus, will come from God through Jesus. Then there are the gifts of the Spirit that come from God through the Holy Spirit. Paul identifies the gifts of the Spirit in his writings. In the book of 1 Corinthians, this letter was a letter to immature Christians. Take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now look over in chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, turn over there, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. Now this is interesting, because he's identifying, or earlier in chapter 1 and then also in chapter 3, he talks about how that some people say, I'm of Paul, some people say, I'm of Apollos, some, you know, I'm of Cephas or Peter. And what they're talking about is the fact that some of them are saying, well, my doctrine or my teaching is approved of Paul, or I got this from Paul. And somebody else says, well, I got this from Apollos, and I'm a follower of him, and you know, this is what he teaches. And I got my teaching, my doctrine from Cephas. He approves of this. And, you know, variations of that thing. But the thing is, when we study Scripture, we find out that all the apostles were teaching and preaching the same thing, that they weren't divided. And yet here we see division. Well, Paul says in this chapter 11, he says in verse 18 that there are divisions. And then in verse 19, he says, for there must also be heresies, so that those which may be approved may be made manifest among you. What he's saying is that there are heresies, and these heresies are originating from people that have, well, I guess you say, a very high opinion of themselves. They're wanting to be approved of man. And so they've come up with doctrines that don't line up with what the apostles teach. And he's saying there are divisions among you. And the reason that I know there are heresies among you, and the reason I know that there are heresies is because there are divisions. In other words, what he's saying is this. You guys claim that you get your teaching and that it's approved by people like me and Apollos and, you know, all the others. The bottom line is, if you were really preaching and teaching what we preach and teach, you'd all be preaching and teaching the same thing. Therefore, because there are divisions among you, I know there have to be heresies. Because we didn't establish heresies in your midst. These heresies have come from people who aren't following our teaching, but they've come up with their own doctrines, or they've taken doctrines that we've preached and twisted them to create their own agenda. And so here we see that this book is written to spiritually immature Christians. He says, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't, because you guys are spiritual babes. I can only give you milk. And this is an extremely interesting thing, because it is the book of 1 Corinthians, which is the source of so much strife and division in the body of Christ today. People fuss and fight about, you know, the gift of tongues and the other gifts of the Spirit and this, that, and the other. And the thing is, Paul says, this whole book is written to immature Christians. So now, if we can't agree on the book of 1 Corinthians, what's that say about us? What's that say about the body of Christ today? We're not as far along as what we would think, you know, generally speaking now. I'm not saying every Christian, but generally speaking, we're not as far along as what we would think. Let's put it another way. If you have a church that cannot agree on the doctrines that Paul has established in 1 Corinthians, then that church is not even as far along as the Corinthian church. They're in worse shape than these guys. You know why? It's because, at least in the Corinthian church, they accepted the doctrine that Paul preached. They received what he gave to them. However, in spite of the fact that there was all this division, The gifts of the Spirit were still in operation. Look back in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also conform you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know that not only were their ministry gifts in operation, but gifts of the Spirit were also operating in their midst. And if you look back over in chapter 12, he says, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he's saying, look, you guys seem to have an idea about the spiritual gifts, but your idea is birthed out of a degree of ignorance. I don't want you to remain ignorant about the spiritual gifts. Now, I want you to jump to verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In verse 11, it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And then in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, what he in writing this, he wasn't telling them that they were ignorant about the existence of the gifts, because the gifts were already in operation. He was saying, in essence, you guys need some clarification as to why these gifts are in operation. Now, let me kind of, and this is in your handout, paraphrase what he was saying here. I don't want you to ignorantly believe that the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your church is a sign that God considers you to be of great spiritual maturity. The Holy Spirit can manifest His gifts to any and every Christian for the benefit of everyone, both the saved and the unsaved. The reason these gifts are in such manifestation in your church is because you truly seek to flow with the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, you are still very carnal. Through the operation of these gifts, God is demonstrating Himself to those around you in such a way that no one can deny He is behind it. Otherwise, the lost would have to depend on what they see in your lives, and your lives are not a very good testimony. And then Paul goes on to share with them verses 9 and 10. He starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit works with all believers on an individual basis to produce any and all of His gifts through each of them as He determines, not as you determine. Yes, you should covet the manifestations of the gifts, but there is a better way to flow with God. And that's when he starts talking about walking in God's love. Because the better way to flow with God is to walk in His love. It's not a manifestation of the gifts. And this is where a lot of Christians get confused. They think that a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit indicates a high level of spiritual maturity. And I'm not saying that only immature people are used in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. But what I'm saying is, you can't go by that alone. You know, you have stories about people, preachers, they'll show up, the gifts will begin to operate, and then next thing you know, they're out getting drunk, or they're cheating on their wives, or, stealing money, and I mean, whatever it would be. So you cannot take a look at the gifts of the Spirit and think that is God's stamp of approval that this person is spiritually mature. Because the book of 1 Corinthians is a perfect example of this. These guys had divisions in their midst. They had all kinds of problems. And when you study through the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is continually trying to correct where these guys had gotten off base. They had started off on the right foot, but then they had gotten off base. It's similar to what had happened to the Galatian church. You know, Paul writes to them, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Well, here he talks about the fact they have heresies operating. So if you have a church where the gifts never operate, what does that tell you about what's happening in that church? I mean, at least in this church, as messed up as they were, the gifts of the Spirit operated from time to time. Because it was proof to the people that, the onlookers that, well, you know, these guys got some problems, but yet God's got to be involved here, or this couldn't have happened, and that couldn't have happened, and so forth. And this is part of the reason why that these folks got off base as far as the heresies were concerned. The gifts begin to operate, and they start thinking, you know, well, praise God, look at me. Gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm super Christian. And Paul says, hold on. Let's clarify some things. You believe in the gifts. Therefore, it is an open door for the Holy Spirit to manifest His gifts. All right? But it doesn't mean He's happy with you. And it doesn't mean that He's jumping up and down with joy because of all the stuff that's going on. You guys still have some areas that need to be corrected. Well, again, think, if you have a church where the gifts of the Spirit never manifest, they don't even believe in the gifts. Because I'm telling you, when you fully believe in the operation of the gifts and believe that they are still for today, sooner or later, something's going to happen because you believe in it. You see what I mean? It may not be a grand demonstration, but what I'm saying is, if you believe in it, there can be a manifestation. And in churches where there's no manifestation, they don't even believe in it. That means that they're not even walking at this level where the Corinthians were walking. Now, that's a pretty sad commentary. Well, Paul is trying to correct all of this. And in this book of 1 Corinthians, he begins describing and talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Go to chapter 12 and take a look in verse 4. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of gifts manifest, but they all come from the same source, the same Holy Spirit. And in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, what this is talking about is the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit everyone, the entire body of Christ. Put another way, when the gifts of the Spirit manifest, whoever they manifest through, it's for the purpose of benefiting people, not to exalt man. See this? To profit withal. Not to profit the man, but to profit withal. It's not to make you look so good. Ultimately, it's to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And in verse 8, he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And here's the thing. You could interject the word gift in this. For to one is given by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the gift of the word of wisdom, and to another person, the gift of the word of knowledge. And it comes from the same Spirit, the same source, the Holy Spirit. In verse 9, to another, the Holy Spirit will give the gift of faith. To another person, He will give the gifts of healing. And again, it's by the same Spirit. He keeps repeating this. It's from the same, from the Holy Spirit, not you. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing this. In verse 10, he says, and then to another person, He'll give the gift of the working of miracles. To another person, He'll give the gift of prophecy. To another person, the gift of discerning of spirits. To another person, diverse kinds of tongues. To another person, the interpretation of tongues. In other words, what he's pointing out is the Holy Spirit moves through these different people. And it's almost like he's saying, you know, this week the Holy Spirit moved through Bob with the word of knowledge. Next week, Bob doesn't get a gift. But he gives the gift of the word of knowledge to Sue. And the week after that, he may give to Joe the word of wisdom. And then the week after that, Joe doesn't get a gift. Because it's not to exalt man. It's to bring about an exaltation of Jesus Christ and fulfill what God desires within a group. You want to know one of the ways, just kind of, I mean, this isn't in your handout, but one way to really be used of God in the gifts is to walk in humility. Because if you get to the place in your spiritual walk with God, maturity, to where you're not going to start getting puffed up over the manifestation of the gifts, you know, look at me, gifts that are operating, the Holy Spirit will be able to flow more freely through you because the moment, remember, pride goes before destruction. And when the Holy Spirit sees that somebody's starting to operate in pride, then he'll back off. Because pride ultimately leads to your total destruction. What was it that caused Satan to get kicked out of the presence of God? Pride. Pride is the one thing that will stop you, you know, dead in your tracks, as they say. I know of some people that had grown in the Lord, and there was an anointing really operating through them in a powerful way, and they started, well, acting up. They started drawing attention to themselves, and it wasn't long before, you know, you could say the Spirit departed. In other words, that anointing left them. It just wasn't happening anymore because they started operating in pride. Now, in these gifts, he's pointing out to one person is given, and to one person is given, and to another is given, so that they understand there's a variety. Think of it this way. Natural illustration, maybe not the best example, but just imagine playing a card game. You're at Las Vegas, and you're sitting at the table, and here's a dealer. The dealer has the deck of cards, and he deals the cards out. Well, to one was the Jack of Spades, to another the Seven of Clubs, to another the Ace of Diamonds, to another the Queen of Hearts. And then the game is played. Well, the next time he deals the cards, another person gets the Queen of Hearts. And a different person gets the Ace of Diamonds. And another person gets the Jack of Clubs. And, I mean, you see what I'm saying? So it's like the Holy Spirit says, you can't generate these gifts on your own. These are gifts that come from me. And this week, I'll give this gift to this person, this gift to that person. Next week, they don't get gifts, but I'm going to give a gift to somebody else. I'll let them operate in this. I'll work through them. Now, let me just kind of throw this into you. I'll throw this out to you. You notice how that the Holy Spirit is causing these gifts to manifest through people? In other words, God needs us in a position of faith in our relationship with Him so that these gifts can operate through us. Notice, this is not just a divine, a sovereign move of God, meaning He doesn't just do it for a person, He operates through people. This should clue you in as to how much God needs us to grow in Christ and become everything that He needs. These gifts manifest through people, not dogs and cats and billy goats. They operate through people, not through angels. They operate through people. Okay? Very important to remember this. Now, the Holy Spirit is the giver of these gifts. And some people, I've heard this over the years, you may have heard it as well. Some people will say things like, well, my calling is the discerning of spirits. Or, Pastor Jones has the gift of healing. Or, I have the ministry of prophecy. Well, none of these kinds of statements or anything like them, you know, he has the ministry of the word of knowledge. This is not true, and none of those claims are scripturally correct. Because these are not ministry gifts. These are gifts of the Spirit. So therefore, for somebody to say that, you know, well, she operates in the gift or the ministry of discernment, that's not true. Nobody operates in the ministry of discernment. Now, you may hear the voice of the Lord more clearly than somebody else, but there is no such thing as the ministry of discernment. And see, this is where a lot of people get off base again. It's kind of like, you know, in our zeal to serve God, we just run out there and grab a hold of anything and start operating in this and calling it that and, you know, everything. And then people get misled. People begin to think that something is what it isn't. So you end up with somebody operating in the ministry of knowledge. Well, there is no ministry of knowledge. There is a word of knowledge, but there is no ministry of discernment. This is discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. These gifts come from the Holy Spirit and they are supernatural. That alone tells you that you cannot manufacture them on your own. We cannot manifest by personal choice any of these gifts except praying in tongues. But even that, we had to receive it. And remember, we talked about, you know, tongues earlier in the school year. So when it comes to operating as far as tongues is concerned, you can pray in tongues anytime that you want. We've talked about that. Yet that gift itself still had to be given to you by the Holy Spirit. You didn't just create it on your own. It's just that He gave it to you and He said, now this is the only one that you can use anytime you desire. And then in Scripture it explains why that gift is so beneficial for us. We are vessels through which the Holy Spirit can operate. And again, I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but it's so very important to remember that God wants to use us. There are a lot of people that don't feel like God wants to use them. And one of the things you have to get past is believing or not believing in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. You have to get to the point where you believe that these gifts are for today. Then you have to get to the place of believing that God wants to use you in these gifts. It isn't that He just wants to use the preachers and the evangelists, I mean, whoever, you know, the super Christians as we look at it. God wants to use every single Christian in these gifts. To one is given, to another is given, and so on and so forth. Now, it doesn't mean that you're less of a Christian if the Holy Spirit has never used you with the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. Please don't misinterpret this. What I'm saying is you have to have the position of saying, you know what, I may not be the best Christian in the world yet, and I may not be as mature in God as what I'm going to be. However, I know that the Holy Spirit wants to use His gifts through us, and I fully believe that He'll operate His gifts through me when He decides, when He wants to. And I have encountered Christians, it's like they're really frustrated in their life and ministry because the gifts aren't in operation. Well, with all due respect, that is a sign of great spiritual immaturity. And I can remember years ago, I was really hoping, I want this to happen, I want that to happen, you know. And the thing is, I came to the place of realizing my responsibility is to grow and mature in God and do what He tells me to do and let this whole thing of the gifts happen as it happens. If it's from the Holy Spirit and it's not up to me, then my responsibility, just grow in the Lord and let the rest of it take care of itself. Let Him do what He wants when He wants. I just need to be obedient. The manifestation of the gifts are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others, except the praying in tongues. That praying in tongues benefits us, but then it also benefits other people as we grow and mature spiritually through that kind of prayer. Now, many times the gifts will blend together in manifestation. It's just a given, especially, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy. But they don't have to blend together. In other words, there is no formula. The Holy Spirit, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit doesn't follow a pattern in this or create a formula is because, again, man would start drawing attention to himself and start exalting himself. Christians who do not believe in the present day operation of these gifts will have a great difficulty understanding both the definition and operation of these gifts. One of the things you're going to find is that in some cases, many people in the body of Christ will take a look at this list of the gifts of the Spirit. And I've actually read in books and so forth and Bible commentaries how that this is not the only list of gifts of the Spirit. And they'll take you back over to Romans and so forth, other places. But the thing is, if you remember in Romans, like Romans chapter 12, we saw how that compares to 1 Corinthians as far as the ministry gifts and Ephesians chapter 4. It follows right along with that. So when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, and this is so important to remember, gifts of the Spirit, not ministry gifts. Now, for all of you that are here tonight listening to this, it's like, okay, I understand that. Yeah, but you've got to understand, a lot of folks don't have the same kind of background as you. And there are a lot of people that are going to be hearing this. They've always been taught a blending. In other words, ministry gifts and spiritual gifts, it's like they've been taught they're all the same or whatever. But they're not. There are ministry gifts and gifts of the Spirit. And it's so important to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are not operated at will. The gifts of the Spirit are operated by the will of the Holy Spirit. Now, when people don't believe in the spiritual aspect of these gifts of the Spirit, what they do is justify these gifts using human definitions. For example, if they don't believe in the gift of let's just pick one. Healing. If they don't believe in the gift of healing, they kind of bypass that one. They don't even want to talk about it. If they don't believe in divine healing, that healing's for today, if they don't believe in this word of wisdom, if they don't believe that these are supernatural operations, then they humanize them with a human explanation. But again, these are all supernatural. They come from God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That right there should clue us in to the fact that you can't do any of these on your own or by your own effort. Now, let's talk first about the gift of the word of knowledge. It is the word of knowledge, not the gift of knowledge. And again, some people have talked about, well, you know, he operates in the gift of knowledge. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. I mean, not according to God's word, he doesn't. Because it's the word of knowledge, not the gift of knowledge. And this is not knowledge gained from schooling, reading books, reading the Bible, or experience. This is, remember, if it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, you cannot attain to it by anything you do. You may not know how to read. you may not know how to read, and you may not be able to talk very well at all. And yet, this gift of the Holy Spirit can operate through you. So it's not based on your education. I remember a story one time, this fellow shared, how that he was at a church and he's going to be preaching. And there was a lady in the church, and I guess it was like during the time of worship or whatever, but there was a lady in the church who, you know, one of those real prim, proper kind of ladies, you know what I'm talking about, that, you know, you can tell that they just want to make a good impression on people. Well, anyway, at a particular point in time, he said, yeah, you know, Holy Spirit, you could really feel the presence of God. And this lady, she gives tongues, speaks out in tongues. So they wait for a few moments. And then this fellow sitting over here on the other side, he gives the interpretation. And when he gave the interpretation, he said you could kind of feel this kind of hush in the crowd. And it got kind of quiet. And so the fellow that was sharing the story said, he leaned over to the pastor and said, who was that? They gave the interpretation. He says, well, he's a little slow. He's a nice guy and so forth, but, you know, he just kind of slow. The friend of mine said, oh, okay. Well, that, you know, Miss Prim and Proper, the interpretation, I guess she didn't like it because it was just a very simple interpretation, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, I love you and my love is always there. I mean, just something very simple, nothing real profound. So she cut loose with more tongues. And this guy gives the same interpretation. And she still didn't like it. So she cuts loose with some more tongues, third time. And he's standing there and he just, instead of giving the interpretation, he just said, same thing, same thing, same thing. You don't have to be an Einstein to be used of the Holy Spirit in the gifts. That's a joke now between my wife and me. Every now and then it's just same thing, same thing, same thing. They're supernatural. Listen. How many of you remember the story of Balaam? If God can make an ass speak, what do you think the Holy Spirit can do through people? So if anybody ever compares you to, you know, Balaam's method of transportation, just keep in mind, God can still speak through you. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter how smart or unsmart you are. The Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And I praise God for that. I don't want the responsibility of having to do this on my own. Because I can't. It's supernatural. And this is important to remember because anytime any of these gifts operate, now granted, we know some of these things people try and fake it. We're talking about the real. Anytime a gift of the Spirit operates, you've got to understand something. It's just like raising the dead. Because it's supernatural. It's not something man can do. You can't raise the dead on your own. Just likewise, you can't give a word of knowledge on your own. It's got to come from God. So therefore, don't ever look at any of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit as being of lesser quality or lesser importance, because it's not. Well, this is the word of wisdom. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of wisdom, not the gift of the Spirit. It's not based on what you've attained to. And this is not the James chapter 1, verse 5 wisdom. You can leave a marker in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll probably come back to it. But look over in James. James chapter 1. And take a look here in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, this is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. The James 1:5 wisdom is related really to the day-to-day affairs of life. Not just your ministry, but it's the godly wisdom to make right decisions for everything that you do. I mean, that's another way to put it. It's wisdom that any Christian can ask for and receive from God. Because he says right there, if you need it, if you want it, if you lack it, ask God. He gives to all men liberally. And he doesn't upbraid or chastise you for asking. He'll give it to you. Now, this is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you can go to the Holy Spirit and say, can I have the word of wisdom? He may say, no. For whatever reason. But it says right here in verse 5, God will not say no. God has already determined by His will, He will give you this wisdom. He supplies this wisdom abundantly to everyone who asks in faith. You know, one of the things that I have come to the conclusion is that some people are trying so hard to get something from God that they miss it. You know, it's almost like we're trying so hard to hear God that we... You know, you've heard the story, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, you know, you can't hear God for all you're asking. You're missing what He's trying to do. Well, He supplies this wisdom. See, this is the thing about it. When I see promises like this, it encourages me because I know God will give me this wisdom. If I say, God, I need to know what to do. I think of it like this. If I'm asking Him for wisdom for the ministry He's called me to, it is to His benefit to give me that wisdom. Because if I go to Him and say, look, You've called me to be a pastor. You've called me to do this. Now, here's some things that I'm not sure what to do. I need Your wisdom to make a particular decision. What's He going to do? Say, well, I called you to this ministry, but I really want to see you fail. No. If I'm smart enough and humble enough to go to Him and say, I don't have a clue, I need Your wisdom, He says right here, I'll give it to you. And so what that means is, I go, I ask, I believe that I'll receive this wisdom from Him, and I don't worry about it anymore. I just go about what I'm going about. And He will give that wisdom to me. This does not describe, right here in James 1:5, it does not describe the operation of the gift of the word of wisdom. Because that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is a gift that is ministered by the Holy Spirit as He chooses or as He wills. Here, we see that God gives to everybody, pours it out liberally and abundantly. The word of wisdom is related to the will of God and to decisions and information pertaining to future events. And I skipped over word of knowledge, didn't I? I apologize for that. We'll go back to that and pick that up here in just a moment. This word of wisdom can take the form of a warning. Thus saith the Lord. You know, such and such is going to happen, and you need to be aware of this and be prepared for what is coming and what is happening. It can also be related to your family, to jobs, finances, your ministry, whatever it would be. The word of wisdom primarily deals with future events. Now, again, and when we go back and talk about the word of knowledge, you'll see how this blends together to a certain degree. But the word of wisdom is dealing primarily with things that are to come, whether, you know, tomorrow or, you know, in a few hours or a few weeks from now. And the Lord's used me in this many times, how that, I'll make up an example. I can't think of anything specific right at the moment, but the Lord's told me that at times for somebody that, you know, they need to be spending time with Him so they can receive from Him what they need because something's coming up in a few weeks that they need to be prepared for, and it has to do with such and such and such and such. And so therefore, you know, there's a word of wisdom that's been given to them about a decision that they need to make a decision about this, that, and the other. Examples in the New Testament, if you take a look over Matthew 21. Matthew 21. You know, I think the last time I taught this course, I skipped word of knowledge, went right to word of wisdom. Shame on me. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. So this was a word of wisdom. He said, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do. Go and do it. If you take a look over at John chapter 11, another example. In John chapter 11, what's happened is Lazarus has died. Now, we won't take the time to read this entire story. But Lazarus has died. And in verse 11, Jesus had explained to the disciples that Lazarus is dead. And he says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him from his sleep. Because they knew he'd been sick. And the disciples said, well, look, if he sleeps, he'll do okay. In other words, hey, everybody knows when you're sick, you want to sleep because you feel better. And Jesus was talking about the fact that he was dead. And finally, he just had to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. They just didn't get it. Well, as this progresses and Jesus heads back into town, in verse 19, it says that the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them. And Martha, verse 20, she heard Jesus was coming and went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. And when Martha got to Jesus, she says, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. So he's speaking of a future tense event. And let's just take a look in Acts chapter 9. Take a look at another example. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says that there was a certain disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said, Ananias, and Ananias says, what do you want? And the Lord said, well, I want you to go over to a street called Straight and minister to Saul of Tarsus. He's praying. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias, he starts talking to the Lord, and he says, Lord, I've heard about this guy Paul, or Saul. And, you know, he's persecuting the church. And in verse 15, the Lord says, things have changed. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So, again, here's an example of the Lord showing somebody what is to come relative to the things, the decisions that they're supposed to be making. In Acts chapter 11, this is the story where Agabus shows up. And in verse 28, it says that Agabus stood up and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great dearth throughout all the world, a famine. And along with the famine, there was going to be a drought. And it says that every disciple, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea. And it says that they did that, and they sent this relief by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, later to become Paul. In Acts chapter 21, Agabus shows up again. And in verse 10, it says that they were tarrying many days, Paul and those who were with him. And here came Agabus. And when he was come unto us, verse 11, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So this is something we're seeing. There's a word that's coming forth. It has to do with something that's coming, coming up, and it's going to have an impact on the decision that Paul makes, because they had wanted Paul to stay. You know, that goes on to talk about how they begged him to stay, and he says, no, look, I've got to do this. You know, I'm ready to even die for Jesus, so I've got to go forward, and that's the decision I have to make. The word of wisdom is not the same thing as prophecy, although the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and prophecy are usually lumped together and referred to in statements like, you know, I received a word of prophecy, or Joe received a word from the Lord, or the preacher gave a prophetic word. They blend together so frequently and so often. And sometimes ministers that we refer to as prophets are actually people through whom the Holy Spirit manifests the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Now let's go ahead and break here. When we come back, we'll go back and pick up this word of knowledge.